This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. This may be the cheesiest intro ever, but I am a big fan of cheese platters and the like. However, knowing how involved it is to put one together, how expensive they can get, I also enjoy looking around at all the available options on the market. And one of the many cheese platter companies in Malaysia, Cheese Platter KL, launched in December 2020 with only 1,000 ringgit as capital, but have now been acknowledged as one of the best cheese platters in the biz. So I have one of the co-founders, Jesse Chahal, on the line to tell us more.
Hey, Christine. So a rather interesting story. We were in the thick of the MCO and we are all three good friends. So there's me, Jesse, and Harpreet and Jaswin. We all have kids and, it's always an idea or a concept of what could we do perhaps or how could we kickstart something interesting. And so when I think of the MCO and we are seeing this rise in demand online for people ordering all sorts of delicious food. I mean, if I take you back to when MCO hit us the first time, you know, everyone was getting home deliveries and everyone was cooking up dishes and putting it on social media. So it was something that we thought, well, let's read a little bit more into this. But prior to that, the idea of Cheese Platter KL was something that I had in my head, but I just kept it there, sort of like in the back burner, wondering when I would launch it. So it all started when I went to a friend's house for a dinner party, and she had her entire dining table covered with this curated cheese platter. And it was literally a journey from the top of the table, the type of cheese and the type of crackers and the fresh fruit and the dip. And you worked your way down that table. And it was, I had never experienced something like that in my life. And I was thrilled, I was intrigued, and I was very excited. And I came back home and I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to start an Instagram page. I'm just going to park it there. I don't know what's going to happen, whether I would have the time to pursue it. I had just given birth to my son, my second child at that time. And so, yes, in the back burner. And come the MCO, we were sitting down and I'm like, okay, I got to rope in Harpreet and Jaswin. They're resourceful, they're reliable, and they're truly, excited about, trying out something new as well. So I thought, I've got my partners in crime and let's just give this a shot. And here we are today. So we didn't have much capital and we thought, well, let's just see, the chance seems now, the opportunity presented itself. And so we just took a boat and we just sailed. And I must say the first few months were a huge learning curve. It was in an industry where you either have a lot of money or you have a lot of experience to sail through. And so for us, it was baby steps, day by day. We learned to automate. We learned customer service. It's one thing knowing it on your own for your own job or whatever. But when you have your own little business, your own little baby, you really have to look into the nitty gritty. And what's really exciting about the journey so far is that because we were the ones literally plattering, going out, finding the best cheese, dealing with suppliers. Now it's easy to sort of work backwards as well. Meaning to say that if, we needed to platter something straight off, we could do it off the bat on our own. We don't have to rely on anyone else or other team members.
Right. That's absolutely fantastic. And I love hearing about all that. I do, however, just want to go back to the beginning of the story real quick, where, yes, you were mentioning that you roped in your co-founders. You didn't start out with a lot of capital. Did you guys bootstrap that from, you pulled together just a little bit between you three?
Yes, that's right. We thought, okay, let's put a bit on the table and let's see how far we get, how far it goes. At that point of time, we were looking at a budget of about 500 ringgit each that would take us to 1,005. We did some math initially of what we needed to purchase, and we were purchasing everything like in small quantities. So we would go out and pick up 2 wheels of cheese or we might, pick up just a kilo of grapes. We were just working really small. But I think because of the wave of the MCO at that point of time, very quickly we got our ROI and we were really able to scale up in a short time.
Yes, you were able to scale up in a short time. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, within only 7 months of your launch, since December 2020, you actually were able to generate six figures of revenue, having only 1,000 ringgit as that starting capital. So could you share a little bit about that journey and that growth with us?
That's right. It all happened, it kind of like snowballed. So initially, a little slow as we started, while we were learning the ropes as well. So I guess that was good for that time period. And then it became also December 2020, Christmas into New Year, then it was Chinese New Year, and then Raya. And so a lot of festivities where people were all at home as well, people couldn't go out to celebrate. We were really able to capture the market there with, of course, our social media and our customer service, because everything at that point was still quite manual. We were using WhatsApp, we were using Instagram and Facebook. Those were the only three platforms. You know, when everything started to sort of snowball as well, we really realized that if we don't expand, if we don't grow with, and if we still keep things to manual, we're going to really lose out on, as I said earlier, trying to catch this wave or ride this wave. And I'm glad we took that chance. I used to read books, you know, about, you know, to be an entrepreneur, you must take risk, you must be brave and all of that. It really was just theory. It didn't really makes sense. But now that I'm literally, you know, knee deep in this, I realized, yes, you do have to take a bit of a risk. And at that point, if anyone's listening thinking, well, how much of a risk can I take? I'm not sure about how brave I can be to take this risk. You will definitely need to have calculated risk. But you also, if you're in a partnership, you'll need your partners on board with you. But it's a risk worth taking, because I think there will be more pros than there may be cons. So back to the story, we're riding this wave. We are expanding as well. So from two wheels of cheese, you know, we are dealing directly with the supplier. We're getting boxes delivered to our homes. Mind you, we're still working from a home kitchen. So there are also plans to now scale up even further. I think the ultimate dream is for this to be a social enterprise where we can really empower single moms, single dads, retirees, anyone who is unable to leave the house for work, and anyone who wants to start their own little business. And hopefully we can be in every single state across Malaysia.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Just out of interest as well, since you are moving towards these bigger plans, this thought of scaling up even further, even with the amount of revenue that you are generating, would you be curious about or interested in any external funding as well?
Definitely something we're considering. I think we are also preparing ourselves with the projections. We may even look at, you know, inviting an angel investor or someone who'll be able to take us in to help us scale up nationwide. So yes, the short answer to that is yes. Mm-hmm. Have we done much homework and research? I would say we're in the midst of doing that, and we will be very, very ready soon.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with that sort of growth as well, you did mention you expanded quite a lot. Is that just in terms of, I guess, the the production wise, you know, you just had more to spend on the raw ingredients, and you had more to spend on like packaging and so on? Is that where most of the expansion took place?
Yes. So, you know, concept-wise, it has been pretty much the same from when we started. And I think that's quite nice, because you have an idea and you're able to really be original or be authentic to that idea. And that idea was for everyone to enjoy cheese platter. A bit of an Air Asia caption there. Now everyone can cheese platter. Mm-hmm. But yes, you know, that was the concept. A lot of the expenditure, of course, came with cheese is not cheap, and all the cheese we use is imported. We do and did want to also promote homegrown produce, and as much as we can, we try to source everything locally. But because of the nature of the platter, everything that we get is premium. Not to say that it's expensive at retail, because we want to make sure that you know, no one feels left out. So our large platter is only 450 ringgit. That can feed up to 10 to 15 packs. And if beyond that, if you wanted to customize for a wedding or a special function, an anniversary, whatnots, even that can be done on like grazing tables. Yeah. So expenditure-wise, I would say mainly is the produce. It needs to be kept well as well. So it needs to be fresh. And for that, sometimes there is a bit of a higher price. price we need to pay.
Absolutely. We will get into a little bit more detail about that. But for now, we are going to take a short break. I'm speaking to Jesse Chahal, who is one of the co-founders of Cheese Platter KL here on Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Bright, formidable media. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. And joining me on the line today is Jesse Chahal. She's one of the co-founders of Cheese Platter KL. And they do cheese platters, in case people are not aware of what that is. It's basically just a spread of cheeses, fruits, maybe nuts, some jams, honeys, that sort of thing. A little platter and one of my personal favorite little treats. So, you know, Jesse, I wanted to ask as well, you've mentioned that this kind of business really found a massive boost of popularity, especially during the pandemic. You know, a lot of not just cheese platters personally, but a lot of food delivery stuff. But also, there are quite a few cheese platter options on the market at the moment as well. So tell me a little bit of what makes Cheese Platter KL specifically stand apart.
Christine, I think first and foremost, it's the price factor. A lot of times when we looked online previously as well, I just want to quickly jump in to say one thing, though. You know, when we started, there were a few established cheese platter businesses or brands out there, but somehow nothing catered, and perhaps we found a gap, nothing catered to sort of the M40 market, if you want to put it that way.
Yes.
So we were a little bit intimidated of whether we can do that sort of high-end stuff, and then we thought, well, why don't we make it price sensitive in that sense,
where more accessible,
more people can have it. So one of our USPs, I think I would start with our price points, and then the quality products that we use, and the fact that, you know, it's something that is trendy. It's so versatile, because you can customize with us. You can tell us exactly what you want, what you don't want. Some people want us to remove the meat. Some people don't like strawberries. Some people don't like kiwi. So you can just tell us exactly what you'd like in your platter. Mm-hmm. So it's very customizable, or it can be curated just for you.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask along those lines, because I noticed that on your social media, your menu is not to say vague, but it's very, you know, it's one cheese, one fruit, etc. You know, it's it doesn't specify, unlike some other cheese plants or businesses, it doesn't specify any specific options to choose from. You kind of have the ability to choose. So I'm just wondering, you know, in terms of that, how do you accommodate that, you know, when people, let's say, they want some specific cheeses, they want some specific fruits or not or whatnot. Considering that you don't, do you have a specific selection that people can choose from so that your inventory is a bit more controlled? Like, tell me a bit about that whole process.
Right. So when you see us on Instagram or Facebook or see our poster somewhere and send us a message, what we'll do is we'll send you to an order link. And in that link, as you go through, once you fill in your name and your number for us to contact you and your message for whoever you're sending this platter to, if you're sending it as a gift, you'll find the options. So are you taking the mini, the small, the three cheese platter, or the five cheese? And under that, there's a drop-down menu to tell you exactly what cheese will be in that platter. Mm-hmm. But we've also got many requests coming in from our customers who say, look, I'm not quite a brie fan. I don't want cheddar. I want something a little bit unique. So that's where, you know, we actually literally get on our feet and we go out and search for the exact item. So they want to make it extra special for a loved one, so they're looking for just a particular ingredient, sometimes even a particular brand. So we do the best to accommodate that.
Right. So there is a certain level of a baseline level of selection that you guys provide. But then, you know, if people want like that super customized experience, they can actually ask for that as well. And you also mentioned before the break that while you do try to locally source as much as you can, obviously, a lot of cheese is imported. So tell me a little bit about that and that whole process. How did you guys go about finding the right suppliers? And you mentioned now you talk directly to them. You know, tell me about that, too.
Yep. So a lot of background work, a lot of looking at labels and finding exactly which suppliers we could work with, who would give us a business account that we could open and bring their price points as low as possible. As you can imagine, margins are not fantastic here. But what we've done in the platters that are already on our order link is that we've really selected sort of the most premium and the most tastiest because we've done our work, right? So you've on the selection, you've got brie, cheddar, you've got camembert, you've got gouda, you've got blue cheese, and you've also got cream cheese. So these are the selection that we believe the Malaysian sort of taste buds and enjoy. Beyond that, of course, you can personalize it. I also want to just very quickly say that we are aware of local cheese makers and they are very tasty. But I think because of the demand that we have, we need consistent supply, number one. And number two, we also need to manage the price point so that we can offer best to our customers.
Mm. I mean, if hypothetically, I guess, if any local cheesemakers wanted to be able to get in contact with you and it was something that would be able to be consistent, would you guys opt to switch to that instead?
I'm sure we could create a whole new platter, a Malaysian platter, and feature that. And maybe like, you know, interestingly, a durian dip. I've been contemplating that idea for quite a bit. I also am aware some people don't like durian, but... yeah, you know, so something interesting like that. But whenever we have our festive sort of promos, so like for Chinese New Year, Diwali, or even Raya, Christmas, we try to work with local. We try to work with local suppliers. So maybe like for Valentine's Day, we work with a home baker, and we actually order brownies from a home baker so that we can empower them as well, empower other micro and small businesses as well. And then for Raya, maybe with kueh or some butter cookies that's also homemade. So the whole box is really a joyous experience because everything, you know, has come from someone's kitchen made with a lot of love.
Right. That's amazing. Now, I also understand that you guys are a halal company as well, because there are some, you know, meat products that sometimes are on cheese platters as well. So tell me a bit about that and that process and why you decided to focus on that.
Yeah, that's really an exciting segment. So we are Muslim friendly. We are not halal certified, but all the products that we use are halal certified, and that we really ensure, and we take, you know, much pride in ensuring that that's met. We have some customers who will actually inquire, and we've shown them the sort of stickers and all of that. But it's a really exciting segment as well, and we saw this segment really grow sometime mid last year, and we thought, okay, well, if anybody wanted something that was non-halal, they can PM us on the side because we use different utensils and a whole different space for that. But for what it's worth, you know, we are 100% Muslim friendly.
Lovely. All right. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about the logistics of it as well. As you mentioned, a lot of these are fresh ingredients, the cheese and the fruits and all stuff that normally require refrigeration and all that. So not only the storage of it, but also the delivery of these platters. How do you guys go about that?
So we use a 3PL. So we work with them, and we have also a business account. Also, in the past 2 years, we've seen many of these services, sort of this market as well, grow. But we needed, again, to work with a partner that is reliable and one that already has some sort of infrastructure that we can, you know, work with. So for now, we use one logistics partner. And we are, of course, hoping that we can work with more so that we can have 100% total satisfaction from customers, because, you know, you do have sometimes and that makes it difficult for us, because we don't we have to rely on the logistics partner, and sometimes at that last mile you find a platter damaged, or sometimes it's left out in the hot sun, or, you know, it's not delivered to the right person. It rarely happens, but if we, I mean, obviously, I would like 100% satisfaction rate. But I must say, though, without sort of blowing my own horn here, that our customers are quite happy. We've been highly reviewed. If you go to our Instagram page, you can see on our highlights, you know, people really enjoy it. And because, you know, you can put it out on social media, I always say it's very Insta-worthy. And, you know, it just gets people asking us more and more about our platters.
Lovely. And also, you know, unfortunately as well, due to some supply chain disruption and of just in general inflation, there have been some price hikes of raw materials or raw ingredients for a lot of different kinds of produce. How does that affect you at all, if it does? And also, if it does affect you, what steps are you taking to combat that?
That's right. We have been affected in terms of price hikes, but what we've managed to do is still keep our price point the same. I think we're really passionate about ensuring that, you know, that we don't keep hiking up the prices, because I'm a consumer and I know when I like something and I go back to order it again or get it, now it's more expensive, you know, it really sort of cheeses you off. There you go. Pun intended. So we have been affected, and more so in terms of the supply chain. Mid last year, we suddenly did not have enough stock. So we had to pivot a little. We had to use sort of a different type of cheese or approach a different type of supplier. At the end of the day, it's also managing the customer to say, hey, look, you know, we don't have it. Sometimes customers, you know, like, for example, we also use imported grapes and strawberries. And during the thick of the MCO, that was a little bit...
Difficult
to get. But we also use strawberries from Cameron Highlands. And I must say that they are sweet and they're succulent and they're juicy and they're red. And we're really very happy to work with local suppliers as much as we can, and which is what we still keep, you know, making sure that we always do.
Amazing. Well, I'm so excited to see Cheese Platter KL increase, I guess, your spread, pun intended, across the whole of Malaysia and maybe even further than that in the future. But that is about it for today's conversation. Thank you very much, Jessie, for sharing the story with me.
It's been a pleasure, and I hope everyone you know, found this interview beneficial at some level. And just look us up, Cheese Platter KL, Instagram, Facebook, or you can WhatsApp us. The link is on the site as well. Thanks for the opportunity, Christine. Speak to you soon.
I've been speaking to Jessie Chahal, one of the co-founders of Cheese Platter KL. If you've missed any of today's interview, you can go ahead and download our app that's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my, to listen back to the podcast. This has been Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.